Lucia and perhaps also Corina on definition of household characteristics, because this has been a problem in most of surveys, especially even when we tried to do similar study using the Kenyan household data. It's very difficult to classify the household. For example, if you say head of household, when the interview is being conducted, for example, in the case of my country, most men go to work in the urban areas. And so the women are the ones that are maybe left behind. But it is misleading to say that these are female-headed households, because it's just that their men are living in the urban areas. Then the other problem is, I wanted to know more how you classified by occupational status and this household composition. I thought that in terms of household composition, is it the number of dependents, whether they are, because in our African setting, if you just say children, you find that in a family there are more dependents than the nuclear family. So is it the number of people who live in that household, regardless of whether they are not necessarily from the nuclear family, besides the sex?
Thank you very much, both of you, for that wonderful presentation. I have two small comments. First of all, it is on in terms of analysis, where you are giving the various parameters for analysis. That was your first presentation. You gave three scenarios of structures of the household. I think where there was a man and two children, male-headed and two children, then female-headed and two children, you know. I think each one working. Then you gave where there were two people working, the male and the woman, but then with no children. Maybe you need to also add on where you have those two children, because for the last one you only said with no children. If you go to that slide, I can tell you. Then in terms of analysis, I think we have you have given us good description of the statistics. But I also feel that your statistics now needs to be supplemented by qualitative information to explain those gaps that we are seeing. I am also wondering whether there is a possibility of linking what we are seeing to some kind of some standard theories, you know, using some theories to explain what we are seeing. Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. in Mexico, I wonder whether there has been any change in the labor force participation by the result of changing rate of tax, because if I were a childcare or a primary teacher, then I used to pay only 10% of tax. Now I pay maybe 25% of tax. Then I may not find any incentive to work in the labor force. So I wonder whether there has been any change.
I guess we will have answers to this.
Is this one working? Okay. In terms of the definition of households categories, we started doing the standard head of household sex, female head households and male head households, and then we had this discussion among the group that the definition of head of household was different in each country, had different meanings, so we still keep it for the records, and because much of the literature have this category, but we didn't really do any analysis on that one because we thought it was not a good classification. And that was the reason why we tried with this other two classification. The one regarding employment status, the strict definition is the following. The idea was male breadwinner, female breadwinner, and dual earner households. The male breadwinner household is defined as a household where there is at least one adult male who is occupied in the labor market, and there is no female adult in the household who is occupied in the labor market. The female female breadwinner household are the contrary, at least one woman member of the household who is occupied in the labor market, who is employed, and no male adult who is employed. And the dual earner is defined as a household where there is at least one adult woman and one adult man who are employed in the labor market. And the other category, there are no adult, neither woman nor man who is employed. And the other category, the one regarding how many men and women there are in the household, the strict definition was the male majority household was the one where there were more adult men than adult women. The female majority, there were more adult women than adult men, and equal female and male, there was the same number of adult men and women. No. I guess we might still argue about whether these were the most proper classifications or not. For this project, we found that these were the ones that would say more in terms of labor, relation to the labor market, and relation to the household composition in terms of sex. And then the question on the PIT household categories that I use, you are right, there was a mistake in the slide. In the three cases, the households were considered with children, so the differences was male breadwinner household where there was a spouse who do not earn any income. A single parent, it would be the same whether it was a man or a woman, and then the dual earner, but the three of them were with children. And I fully agree with your other comments. And in fact, when we were discussing following steps for the project, one of the things that we raised was the need of qualitative research, mostly in terms of decision making and all that. And we didn't handle in this project the analysis of whether there are changes in labor participation given changes in taxation. There are some studies in Europe that analyze that, mostly regarding income tax, but we did not handle that type of analysis.
Well, with this classification going back to complement what Corina already said, we have very, very much discussions because everyone went into our own surveys and our own information, and you can find a lot of bias, let's say. The first time I went into this survey, I went to the complete survey to see if what we could find, you know. And I finished really sick of looking at the information, because everything is male bias, you know. It's like the male is the parameter, and then everything goes around it and gives some information, but the base and the model is male. That's terrible. The surveys, those are terrible for me, at least. And then, well, I agree with all those things, and I will answer Joy. That, well, there is no change in the labor participation. In Mexico, every year the personal income tax law changes, every year, you know. Very low income earners do not pay, so it's just a few women who pay taxes. Since there is so very unequitable income distribution and a lot of labor problems, a lot of employment needed, then there is no movement, you know. It's people who need to work, and not like a social movement it should be, because of that, because it's very inequitable, that part. But then next year they change it again and again, so it's not enough time to organize social movements.
List and two others to talk about the financial crisis in Latin America, so some issues might come up. Any other questions? All right, yes, go.
I have no prior education or in detail about all these tax issues and taxation. So I was wondering first, I guess it was in your presentation, Lucia? Corina. that zero taxes on export, on all exports on your table, there was an item said, you know, for the groups that were exempted. There was some export zero taxes, and I was wondering what that is. Thank you.
I don't know what was exactly that you are referring to, but in the case of Argentina, that's Mexico. But it's on Argentina. No, we have export duties, so we do tax export. What I said about exemptions, what in the PIT, and it refers to income which source is financial transactions. For example, if I have my money in the bank and I get an interest on that, I do not pay any income tax for that.
So nothing about
export? No.
When we are talking about exemption, that is also rate is zero. When we are talking about zero rate, exemption is also zero, mm-hmm. Export is also zero. The difference is, when we are talking about an indirect tax, which is destination-based principle, that means at the point of consumption it will be taxed, ideally under a VAT regime, you have to have that destination. When the goods reaches that destination, it should be free of any taxes. So if it is exempted, it is not free of taxes. Because if it is exempted, you are only exempting the final products. So the taxes paid to make that product as a final product is not taken out from the exempted commodity. But when you are talking about zero rating, in case of zero rating, what you are doing actually, you are not only zero rating the final product, but also taking out all the taxes that have been paid throughout the production and distribution chain and giving each individual who are involved in that production and distribution chain a tax refund.
Great. Well, thank you. I think for a panel that was after lunch and to manage to maintain the attention that you did really speaks to the presentation, the clarity of it, and the interest that we all have around these issues. So thank you very much, and let's go to break. And then we come back 15 minutes. It is now, yes. Okay, so we come back at 3:21. Okay, thank you.